Would you please rise up and welcome with me Pastor Sam Adeyemi as he takes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. If you are breaking new ground, let your hallelujah break a new ground. Amen. Please let's be seated. This convention, no doubt, is a prophetic convention. And I want to say a very big thank you to Papa, first of all, for mentoring me. I thank God, like Jesus did, that I have sat with teachers. And now I can also teach. I thank God for all of the investments personally through the tapes, video, on phone. They have been very, very worthwhile investments, and especially for this opportunity to be a blessing on this altar tonight. Thank you, Papa. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of the investment. When you walk with the wise, you will be wise. My special appreciation also to Mama for her motherly care and encouragement, which I have gotten even while sitting down there. Amen. I thank God for you. You made it here for this convention. The season that we are in, it's a season for taking Canaan, taking the fullness and the ultimate limit of the blessings that God has provided for us in the new covenant. And my prayer is that you will not miss your inheritance in the name of Jesus Christ. Our discussion tonight is on starting your business. Starting your business. I should say that the mentality that helps you to thrive in Canaan is very different from the mentality that helps you to thrive in Egypt. When Israel left Egypt, there was something that was supposed to happen in the wilderness, a transformation, a change, a reprogramming. And like our bishop said earlier on, Bishop Abioye, a learning and an unlearning. In Egypt, Israel was managed. In Canaan, they had to learn to be managers. In Egypt, they did not have the capacity to own anything. In Canaan, they were to be owners. In Egypt, they had been less than employees. They were slaves. They were the properties of their owners, of the government. In Canaan, they were to be owners. So they needed a different mindset to thrive in Canaan. They needed a new set of skills. Unfortunately, they could not acquire that new mindset and those new sets of skills. So, God had to bury a whole generation in the sands of the desert and pick those that he raised in the wilderness into the promised land. Good news is two people made it. Joshua made it. Caleb made it. And the difference was that they accepted the revelation from God as their reality and threw away the mindset of slavery, the low self-esteem, the low self-image, the mediocrity mentality of Egypt. They abandoned all that, accepted what God said, we are well able, and they made it. You will make it. In the name of Jesus Christ, where God is taking you will be so far away from where you are coming from. All those who think they know you now, by the end of this year, they will have to shine their eyes when they see you. Being a business owner or being an entrepreneur is biblical. Entrepreneuring or being a business owner like we had is creating products and services that meet people's needs at a profit. Creating products and services that meet people's needs at a profit. So when we look critically, we realize Abraham was not a teacher in a temple. He was a businessman. He was an entrepreneur. Isaac was not a teacher in a synagogue. He was an entrepreneur. Jacob was an entrepreneur. They were people who had access to the realm of the spirit, who tapped into spiritual resources and used them to impact on the natural. Joseph, their descendant, was in Egypt. By his access to the realm of the spirit, he brought in sound management and leadership and entrepreneurial skills, first into the house of Pharaoh, then into the prison, and eventually into the palace, and impacted on a whole nation. Eventually, he became the savior of his family. For your sake, and because God is raising you at this time, poverty will not be found in your family anymore. By reason of your covenant walk with God and you're subscribing to covenant responsibilities, if Jesus tarries, the next 10 generations, they will not find a poor person in your lineage. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not born in a monastery. We look at the last 3.5 years of his life, and we tend to assume that he was in a spiritual, so to speak, environment all his life, like a seminary or whatever, but he was not. He was raised in the marketplace. It is said that his father was a carpenter. He was a furniture maker, owned a furniture making shop. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, they said, "Is that not the carpenter?" Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we cannot afford to forget the fact that until the experience at the River Jordan, he was running a business. It's no surprise that most of his illustrations came from the business world. When we bear that in mind, it helps us to even understand those parables better. Do business till I come. The kingdom of God is as if a man planted seed in the ground, and he was talking about famine. He spoke about sheep, spoke about goats, and famine was the major occupation of his day. When Jesus chose his disciples, it's interesting to realize that he did not go to the Bible schools of his day. Interestingly, that he went out there picked Peter from the business world, picked John from the business world, picked James and John, the sons of Zebedee, from the business world, picked Matthew from the customs office. Remarkable. And I believe essentially that he did that because he was out to lay the foundation for a relevant gospel. A gospel that originates from heaven but finds practical expression in our day-to-day lives. I believe, therefore, that the church should produce the best entrepreneurs in town. They should watch out. This country is about to produce the wealthiest generation Africa ever produced. And I'm talking about those who are listening to me tonight. So, why should you be an entrepreneur? Why should you start a business of your own? A few benefits here. Number one, it's one of the fastest ways to build wealth. Owning a business of your own is one of the fastest ways to build wealth. Because you are able to aggregate other people's time and money and resources to achieve powerful financial goals. Two-thirds of American millionaires are business owners. When you study the economies of developed nations, you realize they create environments that make it conducive for people to own businesses of their own. So it's one of the fastest ways for you to build wealth. Secondly, you create products and services that add value to people's lives. Owning a business of your own gives you the opportunity to create products, candles, soap, bed sheets, beds, furniture, clothes, whatever. You are able to create products, you are able to create services that add value to people's lives. You need to understand that the measure of your success in business is not only in cash. It's not only in terms of money. You derive fulfillment when you see the things you have produced adding value to other people's lives. That fulfillment money cannot buy. If money only is your motivation for doing business, you will soon lose your drive. When your business booms and you have more money than you need to eat, what then would be the reason for you to continue to be in business? A very wealthy business owner was asked, "You have more money than you need to spend. Why are you still starting new businesses? Why are you still investing so much money in businesses? What are you looking for?" He said, "I have gone beyond starting businesses just for the sake of money. That is important, but that's not the only reason." He said, "In a country like ours, I know that each time I employ one person, I am feeding five people." He said, "Now that is my motivation, that I am helping to solve the problem of poverty for people in this environment. Because someone is working in my company, somebody's school fees will be paid. Because someone is working in my company, someone will not walk naked on the street. Somebody will not go to sleep hungry." So you create products and services. And then next to that, like I just described, you create jobs. You create jobs. When you're a business owner, you create jobs for people. In our country today, people search for jobs, and the jobs seem not to be enough to go around. And obviously, we need more those who will create jobs now than those who are looking for jobs. And I say humorously sometimes that the apprentice that learns vulcanizing may sometimes be better prepared around here than the person who goes through the average university in town. Somehow, the average person who goes through the general school system out there comes out with a certificate looking for who to work for. The apprentice who learns under a vulcanizer knows that the day he is discharged, or like we say, the day he gets his freedom, he's going to stand on his own. I thank God for Covenant University producing producers, not consumers. So you create jobs, and then next, you add to national wealth. When you are a business owner, you add to national wealth. Apart from the fact that you create products and services that improve the quality of people's lives, apart from the fact that you create jobs that feed families or sustain families, from your profit, the government collects taxes. That is why developed nations encourage the flourishing of businesses, because the major part of the nation's wealth comes from the taxes, from the profits of businesses. The dependence of our national economy on oil is a big mistake. Some of the poorest countries in the world are countries whose economies are built on natural resources. The major part of the wealth of developed nations is from taxes. The implication is this: if government will have enough funds to do its job, it must encourage citizens to prosper. As long as citizens are not prosperous, government itself remains broke. I see a new future for this nation. Whatever the value of our budget is now, in the next 10 years, in Jesus' name, there shall be a multiplication. God will make you a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. And then when you are a business owner, you are in better control of your time. You are in better control of time. You know, one major characteristic of an entrepreneur is your ability to recognize valuable resources. And as an entrepreneur, you must see time as a resource. That's why business people say time is money. It just simply means that time is a resource, a convertible resource. It can be converted into money. It can be converted into other things. You need to know also that whereas you can get more money, you can't get more time. So because time, like land, is fixed in quantity, it causes its value to appreciate. That's if you value it. I have noticed a major difference between poor people and rich people. Poor people value money over time. They spend time to save money. Rich people spend money to save time. Okay. How long does it take to fly from Lagos to Port Harcourt? 45 minutes. 12,000 naira for the economy ticket. How long does it take to go by night flight? You understand what I'm talking about? Night flight. 8 hours. That's about 3,000 naira. So someone looks at it. 3,000. 12,000. I beg. I will save 9,000. The one that goes by flight, okay, pays the 12,000 quite all right, but he said 7 hours. Time is a convertible resource. What makes a major difference between a wealthy person and a poor person is the value that they place on their time. Time can be converted to wealth, to money. So when you are on your own, when you own a business, you are free, therefore, to produce or earn in 1 hour what you used to earn in 8 hours. Because now you have the freedom to convert time to money. And then I noticed also from my study of entrepreneuring that business owners spend less on personal tax. It's remarkable. That's how the law of the country is structured. That the person, the law of the country is structured to aid or encourage the person who starts and owns a business. The way employees earn and spend money is different. Employees earn money, pay taxes because they deduct the payee from source. Okay, they earn money, they pay taxes, then they spend the rest. Business owners earn money, spend money, then pay taxes from what is left. Because the law allows for the business to buy you a car, an official car, to fuel it and to service it. The law even allows for the business to rent accommodation where you stay. In fact, if you take someone out to eat at a restaurant, the law allows for the business to pay for the meal because it's a business meeting. So some of the things that an employee will spend money on, the business pays for you, and at the end of the day, you still collect the highest salary from the same business, permitted by law, at least within reasonable limits. And then finally, on the long run, it is less risky to be a business owner than to be an employee. Less risky to be a business owner than to be an employee. Less risky in the sense that if something goes wrong with the business, because some people talk about job security. If something goes wrong with the business, it is not the business owner that will go first, it's the employee. The business owner goes last. Okay? So it is less risky to be a business owner than to be an employee. I see an explosion of businesses. World-class businesses. Because there's someone listening to me tonight, before long, you will be shipping out your products and services to other countries of the world. You know, when you drive an Honda car, you should remember Honda was somebody's name. Ford was somebody's name. Mercedes was the name of the daughter of the person who designed the car. Mercedes actually means mercy. It's our own turn. I said it's our own turn. There are world-class brands that are being raised in this country in the next few years. In the name of Jesus Christ. So my major encouragement tonight is that as a child of God, you must have a wealth-creating mindset. Okay, the major difference between an employee and the employer is the way they think. Between a business owner and the one who does not own a business is the way they think. From scratch, Jesus had the mindset of a producer. I must be about my Father's business. Mindset. The number one entrepreneur of all time is God the Father himself, the ultimate creator of value. He created this beautiful world for the benefit of mankind. So we must, as his children created in his image, be in the business of creating value, creating products, creating services that will solve problems for mankind. I want to say, first of all, that you are a co-creator with God. Starting a business, finding a business to start should not be your problem. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion." And if there's one thing that we know about God the Father, it's the fact that he is the ultimate creator. To create means to bring into existence something that has not existed before. Am I right? To bring into existence something that has not existed before. God, our Father, is the ultimate creator. And he created us in his own image, after his own likeness. And I learned, Papa was sharing with us in the afternoon on the need for us to see ourselves the way God sees us. The truth is, he sees us as creators. People who have the capacity to create things that have not existed before. It will interest you to know that in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, God only started creation. He did not finish the job. He did the basic job and left the rest to us. He created trees. He did not make furniture for Adam. No chairs and no beds. God put cotton in the field. He did not make any shirts for Adam. He put wool on the back of sheep. He did not make any suits for Adam. Those white plastic chairs that we sit on now are from byproducts of crude oil. God, in his infinite wisdom, in his creativity, decided to hide some of our chairs in crude oil. He created apples. He did not make apple juice. The crown of God's creation was man. The most valuable asset on planet Earth is man. Yet, even in the creation of man, God only did the basic job. He left the rest to us. He created one man, created one woman, and then left the rest to us, gave us the capacity to bring into existence human beings that have not existed on this earth before. We are powerful. We are powerful by destiny. So I'm trying to emphasize the fact that our destiny, our dominion is rooted in productivity and creativity. It's a God-given capacity that we have. By reason of our salvation experience, it is restored through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are co-creators with God. God could have built all the buildings we'll ever need in this world. God could have created all the computers we'll ever need in this world. He could have built all the aircraft we'll ever need in this world. He did not. Because if he had finished everything, we would have been jobless. There would have been nothing. We would have had the capacity to create, but there would have been nothing to create. So he only did the basic job. He left the rest to us. So the quality of the lives that we live on at now is dependent on our ability to source those creative ideas from God and to turn them into quality products and services for the benefit of mankind. God's plan was that Adam would have fellowship with him. In the place of fellowship, he would open Adam's eyes. He would transfer ideas into Adam's mind. Because the original intention was, like Jesus taught us to pray, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We got the ideas to produce furniture here on earth because there's furniture in heaven. We make roads here because there are roads in heaven. We design transportation systems here because there are transportation in heaven. The only thing is, what we have in heaven is more sophisticated than we have here because the technology of heaven is more complicated. Amen. This earth was meant only to be a reflection of heaven. So in the place of fellowship, God would transfer ideas into Adam's mind. It's interesting. God walked 6 days, rested on the seventh. If Adam was the last of God's creation, if Adam and Eve were the last of God's creation, and there's a possibility they were created on the sixth day, if that was the case, then it would be very interesting. Because it would mean that Adam's first full day was the day of rest. His major business in the garden, I believe, was fellowship with God. Because in the place of fellowship, God will transfer ideas into his heart, and then he would in turn now have work to do. So man's work does not begin until he gets very clear ideas and instructions from God. Then work can begin. The definition of work, therefore, is the production on earth of the revelations that God has given us. We are co-creators with God. We have the capacity to create products and services that have not been in existence before. That being the case, the question then is, what is the raw material with which we create? You see, wealth is created. Wealth is created. You grow wealthy when you can produce things that have not been in existence. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful. What does it mean? It means that if you have one seed, grow it into a tree, let it bear fruit. Bring into this world fruit that have not been in existence before. Your dominion is tied to your fruitfulness and your multiplication. The more fruit you produce, then the more your wealth can be. Our dominion has been tied to our productivity. Some years ago, I was doing a research on how to get capital. Holy Malam said, you also have local government and the state. Most people don't start their businesses because they say that they don't have capital. So I decided to crack it. I must find a solution to this capital issue in the Bible. So I tracked it. I decided to go start from Genesis 1. The question I was asking was, what was the capital that God had when he was starting? All you want to do is to start a business or to rent a shop. God created the whole world. So let's look for the capital, where he got capital from. When you read Genesis chapter 1, is there any mention of money there? Absolutely not. So I said to myself, if not having money is what makes a person poor, then in Genesis 1, it means God was broke. If not having money is what makes a person poor, evidently he was not broke. He still created everything. So my conclusion, it is not the absence of money that makes a person poor. It is the absence of whatever it is that God had in Genesis chapter 1. I had to track what he had, and Hebrews 11 verse 3 gave it to me by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 11 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things that do appear. Hallelujah. Let me paraphrase that second part of Hebrews 11, 3. The things which are seen were not made from things which do appear. It means that the raw materials with which God created this material world were invisible raw materials. Everybody knows now that the fact that you cannot see it is no proof that it does not exist. So, God used intangible raw materials to create this material world. Awesome. Awesome. Therefore, if you have access to those intangible raw materials, and of course, what were they? Oh, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Revelation. Revelation is spiritual resource. The way concrete or cement or gravel or iron rod or wood, the way they are tangible when you touch them and feel them in the natural, is the way revelation is tangible in the realm of the spirit. Now, the good news is that you can turn intangible resources into tangible resources. That's the beauty of the laws of creation in the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Awesome statement, sir. The Word became what? Flesh. That is the spiritual technology for transferring realities from the realm of the spirit into the realm of the natural. The Word became flesh. When you approach the concept of money from this spiritual understanding, wisdom will tell you that the real money is not paper. Those of us who studied economics, they taught us in school. It's just that sometimes we forget. When you pick a pound sterling note, pound sterling, there's something interesting that is written on it. The day I saw it, for me, it was a big revelation because then it satisfied the Word. Sorry, I just realized now I might have one here. Good. Thank you. I have a pound, 5 pound note here. It reads, Bank of England, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £5, signed by the chief cashier. I don't understand that. That was a source of confusion to me. What do you mean by that? I promise to pay the bearer of this paper £5 when he produces this paper. I said, but is this not the £5? You don't need to pay me £5. This is the £5. Or is this not £5? He says, no, this is not £5. I will pay the bearer £5 if he produces this paper. Listen to me. Real money is not paper. There was a time when people traded without money. They did trade by barter. You brought to the market beans. I brought yam. We determined their relative values and did an exchange. Am I right? No money. Yet there was trading. When people got tired of carrying yam and beans around town to pay for everything, that was when they invented money. Can you imagine yourself carrying yam to pay your children's school fees? Yam to pay for your rent? You want to buy clothes? Yam. You want the tailor to sew clothes for you? You give the tailor yam. So when they got tired of carrying yam around town, they invented money to represent the value of the yam at home. Isn't it interesting today that we pray for money and it is the paper we are asking for? No, real money is value, and you cannot see value with your physical eyes. That's why they invented money, to represent value. I'm trying to make a point. If you are not creating value, if you are not producing anything that will add value to people's lives, don't expect the paper to come in your direction. This thing obeys the law of exchange. Anyone in the days of trade by barter, anyone who went to the market
with nothing.
Went back home with nothing. You can't collect my yam if you don't give me something that is also useful to me. So you see that our spiritual understanding of the word puts us in a better position to beat the world hands down in this issue of running businesses. We have the capacity, therefore, to receive from above revelation. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. Now, I was meditating on the word of God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I went to Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be. And God said, and God said. I backtracked. I went to Genesis 1 verse 2 especially. The earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. I said, come on. The Bible just told us that there was darkness. Why was God talking about light? That is one of the major characteristics of an entrepreneur. You have the capacity to see opportunities where other people see problems. As dark as the darkness was, there was potential for light inside it. As poor as they may say that this country is, in the next 10 years, some people here will become billionaires. God called out light because in his mind, he saw light. He didn't see darkness. It was light he was seeing. In fact, he saw more than light. He saw mountains, saw rivers, saw oceans. He saw trees with fruit on them. He saw animals. Some flying in the sky, some crawling on the ground, some swimming in the oceans. What he saw in his mind was what he said. Then I said to myself, there is power in thoughts, in ideas, in revelation, in divine plans, divine strategies, in divine direction. We must begin to see revelation, thoughts, plans, ideas as spiritual resources from the realm of the spirit. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee and shew thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. When you ask God for 100,000 naira, how does he answer? I know sometimes he will move someone to give you the cash. But the starting point, you must understand, is this. They don't spend naira in heaven. What they spend in heaven is what God will give you first. And that will attract everything else. Someone in America wants to give you 100,000 naira. Does he have naira there? No, they don't spend naira there. They spend dollars. But the good thing about the dollars is that it is convertible currency. Am I right? So when John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word became flesh, that suggests to me that revelation is also convertible currency. That when you ask and God gives you a revelation, he has answered your prayer. Since the real money is not paper, Satan understands the principle, because that was what the Lord Jesus Christ was explaining in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. The seed is the word of God. That's what he said, isn't it? And he said that immediately Satan cometh and taketh the seed. Because Satan knows that a revelation that God gives you is as good as money. When it enters your heart, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Ultimately, the word that God gave you will become flesh. It will become the money. It will become the business. It will become the products and the services. Satan knows that if he steals your revelation, he stole your money. From tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall have no miscarriage of vision anymore. So, as a spiritual businessman and woman, you must understand that your primary assignment is accessing resources from heaven. You cannot afford to get so busy that you won't find time to pray. So busy that you won't find time to spend in meditation. I like the way Isaac did business in the Bible. Because Genesis 24:63 said that at evening, Isaac went out to the field. And there he did meditate. So when you read in Genesis, therefore, when you read later in Genesis 26, that Isaac sowed in the land and he reaped a hundredfold, you need to understand how he did his own farming. That first of all, the location for his farm was a revelation from God. The location for his business was a revelation from God. And that secondly, whereas everybody threw their seeds in the soil, Isaac would put his own seed in the soil, but more than that, he would go sit down and then begin to see his own crops growing supernaturally. He grew his crops by revelation. I like the way Jacob did his own livestock farming, to the extent that he became richer than his employer. Because he said, an angel of God appeared to me in the night. And he said, Jacob, lift up your eyes. I am tampering with the genetic codes of those animals. Miracles will happen for your favor. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive open eyes. Before this convention is over, you will take delivery of a definite revelation. This revelation will define your movement to the next level of blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, this convention marks the end of confusion. From here, there will be divine direction. One word from God can change your business life altogether within a short time. Launch out into the deep, throw your net for a catch. Peter says, Master, we have toiled all night, we got nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, he throws the net. You see, he doesn't realize that the fact that you have not caught fish is no proof that fish don't exist in the sea. The fish know where to go. They respond to revelation, sir. They respond to revelation. The fish know where to go. So as soon as he was armed with the word, it was inevitable that the commensurate flesh should show up into his net. Because the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, before this convention is over, you will take delivery of that revelation that will move you to the next level. If you ever failed before, the last time you failed is the last time you will fail forever. The cycle of failure is broken. It's the dawn of a new day. If you believe that, shout a powerful amen. As I have learned from Papa over the years, one major lesson I have learned. Like I told Papa some time ago, one of the tapes that blessed me the most, I think it was taught in 1994 or so, The Conqueror's Trade Secret. The reason why David never lost a battle, which I discovered to be Papa's secret. The wisdom to take direct instructions from heaven. The day the foundation was laid for this building, I was here. And Papa brought out copies of the minutes taken in a meeting, April 1982, where he described what he saw in prayer. He said, I saw at the base of this ministry a tent that will seat 50,000 people. It's the tent, not here now. And the word became flesh. Don't take this convention for granted. Because those who will be leading in business, not only in Africa, but worldwide, in the next few decades, are being raised in this convention. You must commit to prayer, commit to meditation in the word. And like I discovered and I learned, when you give, knowing that they don't, God is not a counterfeit producer. They don't produce naira or pound sterling in heaven. What he gives you is revelation. Malachi 3:10, bring all your tithes and offerings. Let there be meat in my storehouse. I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. You won't have enough room to contain it. One day I said, Lord, I've been paying tithe for years. I've not seen anything. I've not seen money floating down from heaven. Shoes have not fallen down from heaven. Cars not falling down. And I know you cannot lie. Tell me what it is you are pouring out so that when I see it, I can recognize it. Then I discovered you give, he gives you a revelation. You give, he gives you direction. He gives you wisdom, gives you understanding. Solomon loved the Lord, and he offered to the Lord 1,000 burnt offerings. In the night, God showed up. Ask anything you want. Ask anything you want. Peter gave his boat to the Lord Jesus Christ to use for the ministry. What he got in exchange was an instruction. Launch out, he said, into the deep, throw your net for a catch. That was what he got in exchange for offering the most important asset of his business to the Lord, an instruction. Now, I read the story of a businessman in the U.S. He's gone home to be with the Lord, R.G. Lotoniu, the first man to design and to build large earth-moving equipment in the United States. Bulldozers and scrapers and graders in the U.S. This man's highest level of education was primary 6. He was a mechanic. But one day he committed himself to the Lord to pay his tithe and to support missions. He said from that point on, something changed. He slept in the night. And saw, you see, he was into the construction business. And then they would use wheelbarrow to move sand and to move the materials. But he said he slept in the night and saw machines, heavy-duty, earth-moving equipment. When he woke up, then he got the engineers he was working with and described what he saw to them. They now drew what he saw. If they made a mistake, he would tell them, that's not what I saw. You need to increase the size of that part. Sometimes the design will not work anymore. He will look at it, he will say, this is where you missed it. What I saw, this is how it rotates. They will adjust it, the thing will work. they began to produce heavy earth scooping equipment.
That was how this man became a multimillionaire.
Direct revelations from heaven.
Oral Roberts said when he was a young preacher, 23 years old, he flew in that man's private jet. You can imagine when Oral Roberts was 23 years old, for somebody to be flying private jet at that time, primary school certificate holder, who had access to the revelations of heaven.
Acts chapter 4 verse 13, they said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were ignorant and unlearned men, said they marveled. And the only explanation they could give for their confidence was that they had been with Jesus. When you walk with God, he can help you to overcome the limitation of lack of education, because revelation is superior to information. Did I hear you say amen? R.G. Letourneau said there was a time when there was some small drop in profit and he stopped paying his tithe. The business went down. They were now owing money. One day he prayed to the Lord. Then God opened his eyes. The tithe. He called his managers. Value the assets of this business. Sell anything you can sell. We are paying all the tithe that we have owed until now. We are paying. They say, "Ha, sir, what are you talking about? You want us to go under?" He said, "In fact, double the figure. Double the figure. You don't know how this thing started in the first place. Double the figure." And as soon as they paid the tithe, he said, he slept in the night. He got fresh designs. People who flew with him in his private jet said that whenever they took off in the air, the man would doze off. But he always had with him a biro and a notebook by his side, ready to take down the things that heaven will deliver to him. It's the dawn of a new day. I said it's the dawn of a new day. It is now your turn. I said, it is now your turn. It is now your turn. There is a wealthy place for you. Hagar was crying in the desert. The angel appeared. The Bible says God opened her eyes. She saw a well. However dry it may be around you, there is a wealthy place for you. There is a well of blessing around your life. Before this convention is over, you will locate it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Before this convention is over, you will locate it. There is a line of business in this city that you must take over. There is a line of business in this country that you must take over. And I prophesy tonight by the Spirit of the Living God that Satan's hold is broken over the economy of this nation on your behalf. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy by the Spirit of the Living God, angels go on assignment on your behalf. As you sit down here, taking delivery of revelation from heaven, doors, new doors of blessing, new doors of opportunity will open for you outside in the name of Jesus Christ. There are proposals you submitted, applications you submitted that may have been forgotten. But this week has become your week of remembrance. Everyone positioned by God to remember you, to recommend you like the butler that Joseph met in prison, but who have forgotten. While you are here in the presence of God, your name, your face, your document, your application will come up in somebody's mind in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy 1 week after this convention is over, it will be a season of good news in your life. Miracle phone calls are coming in for you.
Miracle letters are coming in for you. Miracle visitors are coming to your house in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The very place where they told you no before, the answer has turned to yes. When God opens, no man can close. When he closes, no man can open. Your door of blessing and advancement is open. You will walk through it with the favor of God. I prophesy a new dimension of favor in your life. God will raise people that you know, people you have never met in your life before, to facilitate your advancement to the next level. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you.